This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. All right, Matt, you're just a few days away from coming back to the best coast, the West Coast, pal. Looking forward to you coming back to the LA area.
I'm looking forward to being there, if for nothing else than just enjoying some of my old restaurants and places I like to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was ready for the change, ready to leave LA.
What do you miss?
I loved LA. I loved my time there. But yeah, easily, like, I knew I was going to miss the food and the dining scene the most, and it is for sure. Other than friends and family and stuff like that,
yeah,
100% friends, family, whatever. But mostly it's the food.
I love it. There you go. All right. Hey, listen, we got two new profiles up on the site here, receptionperception.com. Go check it out. Troy Franklin and Xavier Leggett, two players that I am so interested in. And actually, I want to start with the Xavier Leggett, because he was the player that I was the most fascinated with and was really curious to see what some of the RP data would come back with. And it's funny, the reason I was curious about this kid from South Carolina is because I'm watching him on a film and I'm like, oh man, I don't know. This might not be a good RP profile, but I love the guy, you know. So there's like these two conflicting emotions I got in me here. And certainly when I read the profile, I felt like that's kind of sort of the road we were going down, Matt.
No, that's actually honestly kind of the journey I went down with Xavier Leggett too, pretty similarly. Because number one, like, just put the reception perception part aside, he has like the weirdest profile, you know, you'll ever see from a college player, because he did nothing until his fifth year, like pretty much nothing. He caught a few passes here, there, but like production wise did nothing, barely really played, didn't command a lot of volume. And then he balls out. I mean, really balls out production wise in his fifth year, like everything from a production standpoint looks good. And he did it all at the same school. Like, you never see that. His journey is worth looking into. Like, he's lost both of his parents. He had a serious motorcycle accident. Like, he had some injuries and stuff. So there's a lot of context as to why his production and like resume looks like it does. So you turn on the film, you look at reception perception for that final year, and he's definitely he's got the size and speed, and like the size and speed combination is gonna get some NFL team to fall in love with him. Absolutely, you know, like a guy that's over 200 pounds, that's 6'1", runs that 40, man. I know that's got to have James Coe, you know, your ears perking up.
I'm fanning myself over here, bro. He's 221 and ran a 4.39. Who does this? What? That's absurd. 6'1", 221, and ran a 4.39 with a 40-inch vertical. That's outrageous. He's an outrageous athlete.
Yeah, and that shows up on the game film, too. Like, he's not one of these guys like, oh, look at the testing, and then you don't see it. You see it. You see it when you watch him play. Right. Now, that being said, like, the route running is definitely not there for Xavier Legette. He's very, for a fifth-year player at 23 years old, he is raw as a route runner. That shows up in his man and press coverage success rates. 19th percentile success rate versus man, 62.2%. 54.5% success rate versus press, which is 19th percentile. So if you're listening to this or watching this, like, go listen to or watch the Keon Coleman segment that we did. Right. He fits into that bucket of players that, like, this type of guy, usually if they're going to hit in the NFL, they have to move to the slot or they're going to be like a volatile deep threat. I could really see either career path for Xavier Legette playing out. Because if you look at, like, his route success rate charts and you look at his zone coverage success rate, it's actually pretty good. 81.4% success rate versus zone coverage. And he's good. He has an above average success rate on these, like, slants and dig routes, like the crossing routes and things like that. So I actually can see I know that people are going to be sick of me saying this by now. We're this close to the draft. I'm going to have just such a better understanding of Xavier Legette and, like, what his career is going to play out with, like, when we see where he lands, because I don't think he has the skills right now. And you kind of have to be like, you're saying this despite the fact he's 23 years old and he's, like, been in school for 5 years and he's still a developing player. That leads you to be concerned. But I don't think he has the skills right now to run out as an X receiver, you know, and do that, right? I don't think that that's there. But I do think he can contribute to an NFL offense. I think there is a role for him. It's just, is the coaching staff going to agree with that he goes to? Are they going to toss him out at X because that size, speed combination? I don't think he's ready to do that right now. But I think he can contribute in other ways.
When you compare Keon Coleman and Legette's success rates versus coverage, it is eerily similar, right? We're talking a 62.7% success rate versus man for Keon Coleman, 62.2% for Legette versus zone coverage, 80.2% success rate versus zone for Keon Coleman, 81.4% success rate versus zone for Legette. And then finally, against press, 55.2% success rate versus press coverage for Coleman, 54.5% success rate versus press for Legette. So again, their numbers, just from a broad overview, are very similar. But when you kind of sort of dive into it a little bit when you're going by route, Matt, me personally, I think there's a lot more to like about Legette from a individual route running perspective than Keon Coleman.
I definitely think there's more speed, like tangible open field and in route speed with Xavier Legette than there is Keon Coleman. That does show up in the testing results, obviously, from the 40 perspective.
Right.
Huge disparity, although I do always come back to that. You know, I know Keon Coleman tested really well from the GPS speed during the gauntlet drill, but I think that's because he has confidence, like, through the catch and confidence, you know, being, like, grounded through the catch. But good conversation with Daniel Jeremiah this past week on my Yahoo show about, like, being grounded through the catch and what that means and how that kind of compares to these guys, you know, who have confidence in their hands. I think both of these players actually fit in that archetype, Xavier Legette and Keon Coleman, which it is funny, though, you know, Keon Coleman backers that think he can be an outside receiver, that you say, like, well, just line him up on the outside and throw him jump balls, like, just make him Mike Williams. Well, number one, I think you're underrating Mike Williams as a separator. Really what you're what you're saying is you want him to be Devontae Parker, James Coe's favorite receiver. Devontae Parker, there it is, drink. There's your Devontae Parker name drop. Like, that's what you're really asking him to be. Like, that's not for me, okay? I don't want my outside receiver being the non-separator contested catch guy. And unless you have, like, the right quarterback, right? You have to have a guy who's an elite quarterback, in my opinion, or you have to have, like, a guy who's out of his mind like Ryan Fitzpatrick, like the one year that Devontae Parker had where he's super productive, right? Like, you kind of have to have that type of guy. Even with the Chargers and Mike Williams, so they had Justin Herbert, and they had kind of an out-of-his-mind type guy and a really good quarterback in Phillip Rivers. So, like, you have to have the right environment for that type of player. But, like, if you're telling me that one of these guys is going to be the guy that actually develops as just like this guy's down there somewhere. Yep. I actually think Keon Coleman's better in that. I think Xavier Leggett's better than Keon Coleman in that regard. And like, I think that shows up in their contested catch data and reception perception. So Keon Coleman, contested target on 24.6% of his sample targets, 70.6% catch rate, which, like, all right,
it's good.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But Xavier Leggett, 28.9% contested target rate in his reception perception sample, 81.8% contested
outrageous
catch rate. I think he has great hands. I think he has
really
just like strong hands. I think he's, again, super grounded and confident through the catch. Like, man, he gets it on these in-breaking routes, and like he just is confident, grabs it, and goes like down the field. I think that's where that's really where I want to see him working. But at the same time, if you're going to line him up outside occasionally and you're going to throw him non-separation go routes or, you know, post routes, I do think he can actually go up and get the football a little bit better than Keon Coleman.
So the thing I love about Leggett is downfield. Okay, so we'll talk about some of the success rates for Leggett, and obviously they're not great. Okay, like on the nine route, a 44% success rate at the collegiate level is not very good. Clearly, you want to be above 50%. You know, at the collegiate level, above 55%, right? So 44% success rate on the nine, not great, right? 50% success rate on the corner, again, not good. 64.7%, we'll call it 65% success rate on the post route, again, not great, right? Like, these are numbers where on the post, you want to be above 70%. On the corner, you want to be, you know, around 60, more than 65%. On the nine, you want to be above 50%. He's below all those marks. I get it for Leggett. But when you watch the guy play, though, Matt, it's just, I know it's not a successful route, but he's getting the ball because, my God, he's just so big. He's so strong. I love the subtle hand fighting he does kind of sort of below the shoulder pads. He doesn't push off above the shoulder pads where it's noticeable. What he does is he pushes off very subtly below the shoulder pads, creates just a little bit of separation to go get that football. That's what I like. Is the play strength for Xavier Leggett, man. This guy's just so strong, man. And I think that strength translates to the NFL level.
I kind of compare him to like Alshon Jeffrey if he's going to stick as an outside receiver.
Love that. I love that comp. Yes.
Fellow South Carolina Gamecock as well, which I actually kind of forgot that Alshon Jeffrey went to South Carolina until like it just jogged my memory.
Because
this always happens to me when I do prospect like comps. I end up being like, let me go revisit their career a little bit. And then, like, I did that for Alshon Jeffrey. Like, oh, right, yeah. And, like, he was a guy that actually had some really productive seasons, right? He had one season with 1,400 yards across from Brandon Marshall in Chicago, if memory serves. Like, he was – but then there a lot – most of his other seasons were kind of between 800, 900 yards. Like, I could see in a best-case scenario is if he's going to be an outside guy, Leggett ends up as that type of player where – he's not a high separation player. Alshon Jeffrey was never a high separation player, but he was that type of, I go up and get the football and I can just like be stronger and physical. And like the route running did develop with Alshon Jeffrey, even if the separation never really got there. So I think that's sort of like the comparison I like from an outside receiver perspective. But man, you know, part of me does think that he should be almost deployed in like the non-gimmicky running backy type Debo Samuel stuff, and like,
yeah,
look, I think, and by the way, another South Carolina player, weirdly enough, I don't mean to be doing this, just doing all these same school comps. I just think that like that's kind of who he is. Look, nobody is Debo Samuel. I think I said this on our show earlier this week that like he should be a non-comparable player. I'm just talking from like a role perspective, the way that the 49ers use Debo as a pure receiver, where he's still primarily an outside guy. He's not a big slot guy, but he's also just like not a good route runner against press man coverage. But they find ways to hide that, you know, by using him kind of in these tight split alignments. They find ways to get him off the ball. They find ways to get him in full speed motion plays and kind of running these routes over the middle of the field, which if you look at Xavier Leggett's route success rate chart, his best routes are the slant, the dig, like routes running over the middle of the field. So if you can get him in that type of role, that's personally what if I was – If I was the wide receiver coach for the team that drafts Xavier Leggett, really wants to take Xavier Leggett, I'm trying to push us towards that deployment for the player and kind of away from the Alshon Jeffrey deployment of the player, even though I think like if he's going to hit as an outside receiver, it's going to be in that Alshon type way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there's a couple things here. Like, I love the outside wide receiver alignment comparisons to Alshon Jeffrey. I just think he obviously, after the catch, has way more juice than Alshon Jeffrey, right? So when you brought up Deebo, and I was just about to say, it's like Xavier Leggett is if like you were to like meld some parts of Alshon Jeffrey with Deebo Samuel. That's the kind of player you get with Leggett. That's why, even though I like some of his, you know, numbers are not good, I'm really high on this player because in today's NFL, you could run bunch format. Of course, dude. Come on, man. 220. I'm just going to go back to 221. Ran a 4.3, 940. Come on, dog. Let's go. It's that simple. No, it's really not. Yes. Look, he's great against zone coverage, which I really like. And I think the points that you were making, and I've heard this before too. Look, he rounds into his cuts. Right. Yeah. Like, he's not a sharp route runner. And I get it. That's why when you watch this guy play, I'm like, man, there's no way he's going to score that well in RP. But just Jesus Christ, when he gets the football, and because he's so good versus zone coverage, there's just so much to like about this guy's game. And I just feel so strongly about this. Like, I think he can play X, but he's going to be one of these just overall weapons for an NFL football team, where We talk about, hey, listen, Keon Coleman needs to play a power slot, and he needs to have a very niche role. I don't really see that for Xavier Legette. I think in today's modern NFL, Legette can parachute in and just straight up be a weapon all over the football field.
Yeah, I don't see him being the power slot conversion that I see for these other guys, which, by the way, could put him in the other bucket of receiver. Now, he's not quite this type of player either. He's a really difficult evaluation, honestly. That's where I come down with Xavier Legette. And the other player we're going to talk about later in the pod is Troy Franklin, who I think is the other like difficult evaluation in this class for a different reason. But like Xavier Legette is the most difficult evaluation in this class because there's just like a lot of pieces to parse out. And like, he's definitely a profile worth reading on the site, not just like looking at the colors or looking at the percentiles. Right. Like he's a guy that's worth like, it's worth just imagining these different type of roles. But to bring it back to the Alshon Jeffrey point, I don't have reception perception data on Alshon Jeffrey's early, like the 2013, because that was before reception perception actually. But if you look at just some of his final seasons with the Chicago Bears and then early seasons with the Eagles, just I'll give you the 2016 and the 2017 numbers. 65.6% success rate versus man and 61.4% success rate versus man in those two seasons. Those are both below average marks. But you look at success rate versus zone, 79.4%, 77.4%. You even look at some of the other seasons with the Eagles, 78%, 78%. The success rate versus press, they're all below average. So, like, again, kind of similar to Xavier Legette, where the press man ability, and, like, the thing is, Xavier Legette's so much faster. So, like, if he develops the route running that you're really Alshon didn't have, like, even if he is a not a great route runner, whatever, he's going to have more high-yield explosive moments because Jeffrey just wasn't that guy necessarily, in my opinion. So could he be that type of player? I think that actually gives you sort of a picture that, like, yeah, Alshon Jeffrey was better against zone coverage than he was man coverage as a separator underneath and stuff like that. And maybe that's Legette's future. I think it could be.
Yeah, there's just so much, like I said, I just think it's just such a complex profile for Legette because and I know a lot of these prospects who have some of these scores don't work out and I get it. But man, I am just so curious to see if his athleticism will translate and the things that he does do well. Like you said, the dig route, the slant route. I love that. Right. Like he's good against zone coverage. So there are areas of his game that actually do translate to the NFL really, really well. And this is beyond like the niche type of player. Like he's not a gadgety type player either, right? Like I said, I really feel like Legette can come in and help an NFL football team day one. Really, really interesting profile, and I agree with you. I it's absolutely worth the read. Matt alluded to a little earlier, talking about some of the production. It is truly crazy. You know, he had 9 total receptions in 2019. He had 7 total receptions in 2020. He had 8 total receptions in 2021. 18 total receptions in 2022. So literally, he's doing nothing. He's doing nothing for 4 full years. Then in 2023, explodes. 12 games, 71 receptions, 1255 through the air. And seven touchdowns as well. Can I just give some of these game logs though, bro? He had 9 catches for 178 versus North Carolina, 5 for 189 versus Mississippi State, and 9 catches for 217 versus Jacksonville State. So explosive upside. But I do think there are ways obviously to contain him. And you know, other teams obviously did figure that out. So interesting player, man, very up and down, crazy high upside. But again, because the route running is just so raw, as Matt mentioned, there is obviously a lot of downside risk.
And just
as well,
last thing with all of this is that there is a part of me that just wonders in the moments that we're getting caught up in, like these highlight reel moments, it's just worth remembering. I don't always love to focus on like Ricky Pearsall is 23 years old last year. I don't give a shit because of how he's winning. Okay. Like it's just like he's out there winning with technique and winning with precision in his routes.
Right.
Xavier Legette is not, but he's putting up these numbers. Is he just out there like he's 23 years old? He's just bigger, faster, stronger, able to out athlete a lot of guys that are like, you know, 18, 19.
Right.
Very possible. Like, very just possible. He's more developed physically than some of these other players. And I just, like, I just wonder if that is sort of going to be something that, like, oh, he gets to the NFL field and, like, he's not able to win in that same way. So he's got to develop the other, like, techniques and stuff like that. So I can't wait to see where he ends up landing, man, because I think it's going to give us both clues in terms of utilization, and it's going to give us clues in terms of, like, can he be, like, is he going to be developed in this spot? Because I do think he needs to be developed.
How do we get this guy on a Kyle Shanahan offense? How do we do that?
Yeah.
Because that's where he needs to go.
Which Shanahan tree, like, really needs him right now?
That's
like,
what I mean.
Shanahan tree offense, you know? Like, really needs him, because, like, they have that. Maybe if the 49ers trade one of Debo or Ayuk, if they trade a Debo, like, they should find their way to get Xavier Legette. Like, and 100%. Just like, okay, we can figure this out. But, like, the Rams kind of use Puka in these, like, you know, tight formation type ways. The Packers, they have enough receivers. Maybe the Dolphins, like, if he fell to the second round, do they have a second round pick? I think they have a second round pick. If he fell to the second round, like, I could see that, because people talk about, like, the Dolphins should take Xavier Worthy because it's speed. And it's like, okay, no, grow up, eat your vegetables, right. Like, be an adult here. Draft an offensive lineman and keep it moving. But I'm just thinking about some of these Shanahan tree teams, like which one of them really needs a receiver. Like, Houston's kind of covered there, so I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but yeah, if the 49ers somehow decided, like, all right, we got to extend Ayuk and we got to trade Samuel on draft day, like,
go get
find
Xavier
their way
Legette.
To Xavier Legette. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, we've talked about this in previous episodes, where one of the most important routes in a Shanahan offense is the dig route. And coincidentally, this is one of the best routes that Xavier Legette runs, right? So it's pretty good. All right, let's talk about this kid out of Oregon, Troy Franklin, 6'2", 176. He ran a 4'4", 140, 39-inch vertical. So again, plus athlete, but really light in the britches, man. 6'2", 176. Obviously, when you see him on film too, you're like, gee whiz, this guy is skinny. Really productive player, 1383 through the air his final season at Oregon with 14 touchdowns. 14 touchdowns. Again, that was his senior season as a Duck. But what do we find with Troy Franklin, Matt?
Troy Franklin, I think, is another difficult prospect to evaluate. But I don't. It's in a very different way with Xavier Legette, just because I think, like, I watch Troy Franklin and I see a very good route runner, you know, and I see a guy that, and like that alone makes me interested in him. He's just so, like, thin and so wiry, and, like, I do think that's a problem in his game. You know, it's funny, like, he goes to the combine and he shows up super light, skinnier than even it was expected, and then runs a slow 40 for that size at 4'4".
Right.
Like, if you're going to weigh, like, 6'2", 176, you better fly, buddy. And, like, 4'4", 1 is fast, but it's not flying, right, in terms of a guy that people think is a speed threat. It's actually not too dissimilar to Jalen Hyatt, who the year before came in and measured 6 foot, 176 pounds, and then ran a 4.4 40-yard dash, like, slower than came in lighter and slower than people expected.
Right.
The difference here is that there's two differences. One, Jalen Hyatt could not run routes, and his success rate profile, or success rate versus coverage scores and reception perception showed that. And he played in, like, a Mickey Mouse, Looney Tunes offense as a slot receiver.
Right.
And Troy Franklin's tough because, number one, he can run routes. 70.3% success rate versus man, 82.4% success rate versus zone. Like, he can run routes. I actually think the technique of his route running is good. And he did it all from, like, the X receiver position. 85.2% of his sample snaps outside, 79.9% on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's
I don't think that's where he's playing in the NFL, because then I can get to the concerning parts here, which is, he's not good against press coverage. 58.5% success rate versus press. That is certainly lower than you want it. His size shows up in contested situations. He gets brought down on first contact a lot. So, you know, it's like, again, 26th percentile success rate versus press. That's not an ideal mark for a guy that's going to play outside. Definitely can't play the X receiver position. So, I don't know. He's just a really difficult evaluation, because similar to what we talked about with Xavier Worthy, where I'm usually not the size guy, I'm usually just like, hey, like, if you can play beyond your size, I don't care what you weigh, if you show you can do it. But, like,
sure,
I don't think the film and I don't think the reception perception shows that he can play be above that size.
So you talk about some of that press coverage concerns there. That's really where the play strength and the weight, I think, really show up, right? Like, he could get diverted off that line pretty, I don't want to say easily, but again, it's, you know, he's not able to kind of show off that speed. Although I will say this, though, Matt, I know he tested at a 4.41, but I'll be honest with you, though. When you watch the guy play, he does play extremely fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
sometimes
agree.
That speed doesn't really show up on film, but I thought for Troy Franklin, it definitely showed. And whatever, look, 4.41 is crazy fast too. Okay. I know we're spoiled by all these dudes breaking 4.4s everywhere, but 4.41 is fast, right?
It's fast, yeah.
Yeah, and for me, when I watch him play too, man, I did think that, yo, this guy plays faster than what you would expect, and a 4.41 is really fast too.
Yeah, I agree. I do think he plays fast. You know, his success rate on deep routes are all really good too. You know, on the nine route, high success rate, post route, corner route.
Super good. Yep.
I do think he's going to help stretch the field as a Z receiver in the league. I don't think he is like MVS, right? He gets comped to MVS sometimes because, you know, we haven't even talked about his hands yet. There's no way this guy trusts his hands, okay? I mean, that's just no way. And I don't blame him. Like, I wouldn't trust my hands if I was Troy Franklin either, but he gets kind of comped as MVS because he's a speed receiver and he drops passes downfield. But, like, he's such a better route runner than MVS, man. Like, MVS was never a good route runner. Like, he just would get deep sometimes and he would drop passes. Like, that's sort of where the comparison for Troy Franklin to MVS ends for me personally. But the routes that are concerning for him, like, in terms of being a high-volume player in the NFL, you look at that dig route success rate and you look at that slant route success rate, which he ran both of those at an above-average rate. 73.3% success rate on slants, 68.2% success rate on digs. That's not good. Those are both below average. You need, like, if you're going to be a high-volume receiver in the NFL today, you have to win over the middle of the field. And Troy Franklin just doesn't run routes over the middle very well. He struggles with that, I think, one, because of the physical play. I think also because he doesn't trust his hands. I think that's part of it too. So you've got, like, I can see him being a very straight line flanker receiver where he wins on nine routes and like other vertical routes, and he works back to the quarterback really well. I think he route success rate super high. Actually, he ran it quite a bit. Like, that I see the role for him. I'm just saying, like, if he's going to be a high volume receiver, it's going to have to take the right, like, the right landing spot in the right place.
He's an interesting player because I think I loved him watching him eyeball test. I loved him versus zone coverage, right?
Yeah.
And also, it eats up the zone, but not just that. Again, you hinted at it too. The start-stop ability mixed in with zone, you know, coverage recognition. Oh, my goodness. I thought those were the areas where I'm like, yo, this guy can absolutely play football. Start-stop ability was great. Obviously, that translated itself very well into the curl success rate. 85% success rate on a curl route, man. And he ran that, like, a lot, you know, 18% of his routes were curl routes. And why not? Because, I mean, the dude is an absolute beast, an animal, with that start-stop ability. And again, his zone recognition, I thought, was really, really good. We talked about it before. What do we look for? We look for guys who are above 80% success rate versus zone. And yeah, that's Troy Franklin, 82.4% success rate versus zone. So again, while Matt, I want you to kind of expand on this. While there are certainly holes in his game in the intermediate area of the field, I know we harp on the intermediate area a lot. We love guys who play well in the intermediate area. He also has some things that he can do with the curl route versus zone. And then again, really, really good, I thought, over the top as well. Some of that stutter and go type of stuff that he's got with that upper body motion, man, it is pretty good. And he's able to separate quite well over the top.
You know who he actually sort of reminds me of from last year's draft class? And I'll shout out Scott, a.k.a. Jax Falcone, over there at the Undroppables Network, who sort of kind of turned me on to this comparison on his podcast. Okay. Was when we were talking about it. He sort of kind of reminds me a little bit of Jordan Addison last year, where, like, skinny guy, mostly played out at X receiver in college. At USC, Jordan Addison played X receiver. And he was on the line of scrimmage. He was outside, but he didn't do that at Pitt, right? But the season I charted for him for reception perception was all at USC. So again, outside on the line of scrimmage, Troy Franklin outside on the line of scrimmage, X receiver, but you don't think that's where they're going to play in the NFL. And you look at the success rates in reception perception for these players. For Troy Franklin, 70.3% success rate versus man, 82.4% success rate versus zone, 58.5% success rate versus press. You look at Jordan Addison from last year, 71.3% success rate versus man, 80% success rate versus zone, and 51.1% success rate versus press. Actually kind of similar in the same ballpark for these players, but I would say the differences here are that Troy Franklin is faster. Like you said, he works better over the top. I think he definitely is. I do think he's got worse hands, so there's like kind of camps in both sides there. But it just like comes down, like the reason I'm bringing up the Addison comp is because if we're talking about him becoming a high volume player, like Jordan Addison, he's only played 1 year in the NFL. We don't know what his ceiling is going to be yet, but he handled a decent bit of volume, you know, as kind of the number two, number three option in that Vikings passing offense last year, you know, behind Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. But like, I remember saying on this show, I had issues with the like Jordan Addison reception perception profile because that press coverage score, right, was tough, even though I liked his route running. I just thought he got rerouted by physical play. Well, it's so much easier to run against favorable coverages when you play across from Justin Jefferson, who's that true X receiver, who's an elite number one. Like, could Troy Franklin, if he gets drafted by a team that is able to put him in those situations, like, he could be that Jordan Addison type with a little more downfield ability. Overall, I like Addison's profile better. I liked him better as a just as a player. But I'm just saying from like a comparison standpoint, if we're talking about a way, James, where he could be more than just this linear take the top off player, I think it would be in a like role like Jordan Addison, where he's that flanker, you know, favorable coverage guy across from a true number one.
Clear number two, you know, I would agree with that. I think Troy, that's to me what Troy Franklin's game looks like to me, is a really, you know, a threatening number two, a weapon that you're not going to build your offense around, but my God, you just love to have him on your football team, you know? Can we talk about his contested catch though? Because to me, it's a real mixed bag. I didn't see almost any high point catches, which is an area of when you're going to be a contested catch guy, you got to have that in your bag of tricks. I didn't see that with Troy Franklin. Now, okay, now that being said, what I did write down was I did think that he had excellent adjustment to the football in the air, right? So not a lot of high point stuff, but again, can adjust back to the football or adjust to the football that's poorly thrown over the top. I thought he was great in those regards. But my God, Matt, he had some seriously bad drops, whether it was underneath or over the top, man. Like, he's doing a good job getting open sometimes, but some of these drops, oh my God, they're so bad.
Like, I agree with you. It's just he has some good positioning. He knows how to kind of adjust to the ball down the field. He just doesn't catch it. Like, his catch technique is not good. Like, I don't think it's a concentration issue. Sometimes, like I said, in that gauntlet drill, especially, I feel like he's thinking about it too much. Like he's almost like overthinking this because he knows it's a problem. And that's sometimes like these like drop issues become like something that gets in a player's head, right? Like they know. Like you can't tell me that some of these Chiefs receivers last year, like you can't tell me like Sky Moore isn't thinking like, ah shit, if I drop this one, this is gonna be it, you know? Like, you can't tell me that doesn't get in these guys' heads at some point. Like, especially I mean, for a guy like Sky Moore, great example, like he didn't have like drop issues, but then like you throw him the football and it's like a complete train wreck, because I think he like it gets in your head, you know? Sure. So I think Troy Franklin is a little bit like in his head about it sometimes, but that's the weird part about him, is that he has the tracking, and he has like the positioning to be a good downfield receiver.
Right,
he just actually has to receive, you know, one of the words in the position, actually has to receive the football a little bit better than he does. So again, that's what makes him a tough evaluation, because if he's going to be in this like lid lifting Z role and he drops like, you know, a handful of passes like early on and proves himself to be a unreliable player, it's just like,
right,
coaching staffs are not going to put up with that.
That's a good point.
Especially because we have other questions with him. And sometimes maybe it just is he gets muscled around at the catch point a little bit. Like I said, I think the positioning is good, but I think the lack of size shows up at that catch point. Like, he can be rerouted. Honestly, James, like, I just wish this guy would add some more protein to his diet, up that calorie count, you know, maybe get on NFL strength programming and, like, you know, and get going, man. Like, we need him to, he can't be 6'2 sub 180. Like, it just looks bad. Like, it shows up on film.
100%.
It's just like, I like the route running. I like the body positioning. It just is like, I keep coming back to the fact that he's thin and gets muscled around out there. So can somebody get with Troy Franklin and have him gain 10 pounds? Like, 10 pounds, that's all I'm asking for here. 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get to 190. Why not? That's a good weight. You know, 6'2", 190. I think we're in a good spot right there. That'd be good. And by the way, for when we talk about the hands, of course, everyone's going to be thinking about Quentin Johnston. Are his hands as bad as Quentin Johnston? No, they're not as bad as Quentin Johnston. Quentin Johnston had, like, serious... I don't know. Like, he just... The thing with Troy Franklin is, you know, when you watch him catch the football, his arms are in the right spot. So he's not alligator arming anything, right? So his arms are in the right spot. It's just... I don't know what is going on, but the ball just is not caught. Like, I'm at a loss for what is happening out there with Troy Franklin. It's just... He's in a good position. Like you said, the body positioning is good. The arm positioning is good. He's got his hands out there for a full-on catch. And then he just doesn't bring it in somehow. I don't know, man. Some of these drops, you're just like, I don't get how he dropped that. Sometimes it's like, okay, you get it. Like, you know, Deontay Johnson had some of these drop issues on slant routes. A lot of these receivers have drop issues on slant routes. I get that. But on these, like, intermediate or deep passes where you've done all the work, you've done 99% of the work, you've gotten open, your body positioning is great, you're shielded from the defender, your arms are out there, the ball hits you in the hands because you've done a good job positioning yourself to get in a spot. And then he just drops it.
He's not like a body catcher, like even catch body catcher like Quentin Johnston was. You're right to say, like, there are different issues. And, like, Quentin Johnston couldn't track it. Like, I think Troy Franklin can track it, and I think he can, like, get his hands out there. He just, like, he's got that, like, clap attack thing, and he's got just inconsistent the timing's not the big concern. I think he just, like, fights the football, man. Like, he honestly is just fighting the football. And, like, is he fighting his internal demons? Like,
I think
that's what it looks like.
Okay, so Leggett to me is a easy second round pick. Easy. Like, I've got no problems. I wouldn't take him in the first round because he's got a little too much, you know, he's got a little bit of too much that project label put on him, you know, in the first round. Second round, oh, where can I sign up for a second round pick for Xavier Leggett, right? Troy Franklin, where do you put this guy? Because, again, you know, a little lighter. You know his upside's probably not a number one player, number one receiver in your receiver room probably ever. High-quality player, has some drop issue. Where do you put this guy? Is he a second-round pick, third-round pick? What are we looking at with Troy Franklin?
I think he's a round-two pick. I put him in my priority round-two like bucket, which is same thing with Xavier Worthy. I think those guys actually kind of present similar sort of like pluses and minuses, but I gave Xavier Worthy a higher ranking just because I just think he's got some better marks to him. I do think Leggett's a tier down from those players, and maybe to me more of like a late second, early, like a third type, like just good day two option overall. But like that group has some hits. It has some hits and it has some misses, right? Like Jaden Reed was in that group to me. So like it just kind of depends, and you know what we're looking at here from that standpoint. I personally prefer Troy Franklin over Xavier Leggett because younger. I mean, just if you're thinking about not reception stuff, like he is younger, he has been more productive, and I think he actually is a good route runner. He has good technique. Leggett's just more of like that moldable clay type.
Would you agree with my assessment overall that Leggett's got the higher upside though than Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
Franklin may be able to play you know, in an NFL offense day one, whereas Leggett needs to get a little, as you said, moldable. But to me, I just feel like Leggett's upside, man, just it's so much higher than Franklin's.
I would agree. Yeah, I think that whatever maybe the floor for both players is like can't really hack it on a depth chart. But I think the ceiling is higher for Xavier Legette for sure. I just think like the odds he hits that whatever that ceiling is not super high percentage wise.
I think I would also say Legette's floor to me is a lot lower than Franklin's, because Franklin, no matter what, will always have a role in this league as a lid lifter. And that's a, by the way, that's a skill set that, dude, I mean, NFL teams are always, always looking for that skill set, right? So Franklin,
talked about MVS. He signed a 3-year, $30 million contract and like never was productive with the Packers.
And he sucks. Let's be real, okay? He's not a good player. And he's hung around this league for so long, man. I'm telling you, Troy Franklin is going to have like an 8-9 year career, you know?
Yeah,
he's
right.
Going to be in the league for a long time. Legette, to me, man, he could flame out, you know? He gets with the wrong coaching staff. They don't like what they're seeing, whatever, whatever, whatever. And he never develops as a route runner and is never put on the field in an advantageous situation. I could 100% see him flaming out of this league. So yeah, I get where you've ranked these guys, you know, I get it. But I'm one of these upside chasers, which is probably why if I was a GM, I'd get fired in like 3 years, but, you know, but Legette higher upside, lower floor. Troy Franklin, man, he's going to be in this league, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, man, 100%.
I do think both these guys are a little landing spot dependent. I think just because of the Jordan Addison example, like I felt so much better about Addison after I knew where he was going to play. With Legette, I just think he's even more landing spot dependent. That like, I think he's not Jonathan Mingo to me. I think he's a better prospect than Jonathan Mingo, just like once Mingo landed with the Panthers, he was banged. I think there's a chance that Legette could be that way, or he could even end up getting pigeonholed into like a LaVisca Chenault type of role, which, you know, I always say like, it's like, oh, a coaching staff is like, yeah, we got to find out ways to get LaVisca Chenault the ball. Again, speaking of the Panthers last year, and he's like, that's a bad sign actually, it's a bad sign that you're running out of ideas.
Not good stuff. All right, so interesting show, interesting profiles on two very interesting players, Xavier Legette and Troy Franklin. Obviously, go to the website, receptionperception.com. If this is your first time listening to us, man, we would love for you guys to, you know, subscribe to the show and obviously rate the program as well, wherever you guys get your podcast. But anyways, that's it. That's it for the show. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you, and remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.